Hi there. Welcome in to this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. I hope you had a great weekend, that you unplugged for a little while, you spent some time doing things you like to do, and you disconnected from the insanity. But it's Monday, time to hook back up again and keep an eye on the Looney Tunes that are literally making our lives like an episode of The Simpsons. It's just something really weird. There's all kinds of discord, unrest, and when you start looking into what everybody's mad about, you start discovering that they're mad about things that really that aren't real. I mean, as I told my wife the other day, this should be expected from a segment of our society who relates everything to movies, fantasy books, and video games. Because when you look at the response we're getting from these people, it's definitely not based in real life. It's based in what they've been told is real by people who want them to believe certain things for their political advantage. They're being manipulated. And they're being told that you are being manipulated. You see, I do know that that goes both ways, just in case you were thinking, well, Mark, they all say the same thing. Well, yeah, you know, the difference is that people on the conservative side of all of this stuff, like you and I, we base what we believe in reality, in the real world, in what's really happened, in real history, in real writings of the people who founded our nation. Not what people tell us those things are, but the real deal. And that's not hard to do, by the way. You can very easily find yourself a copy of the Federalist Papers and read what these guys all wrote to each other, what their opinions about the various aspects of our government, forming our government were, and you can learn what shaped the nation that they founded and why they chose to do what they did. And when you read it all, you realize that these were people of diverse opinion, diverse backgrounds, and they all worked together to form something that would become the foundation this nation was built upon. And today, we have a group of people who are unwilling to work with others, to move forward, to do good things, to do great things for the people of this nation. And those people are Democrats. They're progressives. Those people believe that they are the intellectual elite, and that the rest of us are just, honestly, too stupid to understand what really needs to be done. So why bother explaining? And that's what we're dealing with. And yet, the people who trust them are the people who relate everything to movies, fantasy books, and video games. The kind of people who call Trump literally Hitler and Voldemort. Those people. Disconnected from the real world around them. And that is what we've been facing. And that is why people are rioting. They're tearing things up. That is why we're being threatened by Black Lives Matter. And another reason that's happening is because those same people who won't work with anyone else, who must have it their way or the highway, those same people are allowing it to happen because it works to their advantage. The Democrats, the Democrat Party, they're seeking to destroy the fabric of this nation simply because once everything falls apart, they can blame everything falling apart on people who aren't with them. And then they can tear everything further apart and rebuild it from the ground up. And why is this happening?
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
It's the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. A progressive dream for a very long time. To tear it down and rebuild it as a socialist nation. ignoring the fact that socialism, everywhere it has been implemented, has been a monumental failure. And in some places, when it reaches its final stages, has murdered millions of people. And that is what the Democrats are after. And I say that up front because it's best to know what you're dealing with when you get going. Not wade into it blind. You need to understand the motivation of these people. It's all about power. It's all about control. And it's all because they passionately believe that they are morally and intellectually superior to you and I. And that's why. And how's that for setting a stage for a Monday? Happy Monday to you. The week is just going downhill from here. Oh, my gosh. I hope you had a good weekend. As I said earlier, I hope you got a chance to unplug, to enjoy your life, to do things you like doing, to get some things done around the house. That's kind of what I did this weekend. I unplugged. As much as I say I'm unplugged, I may unplug for a couple or 3 hours at a time, and then I wind up sucked back in looking at social media, looking at the news, and posting things to the Daily Perspective Facebook and Twitter pages and on Parler. And I find myself being sucked back in because I'm a news junkie. Hi, I'm Mark, and I'm a news junkie. And I just get pulled back into it from time to time. But the thing is that my outlet is this, what you're listening to right now, and the Facebook page, the Twitter, the Parler thing, and the Parler thing. Yeah, and you know the thing. And and the website, the dailyperspectivepodcast.com, and making sure that I can pass along what I find to you. And I do a whole lot more of it in social media than I actually do here, because I restrict myself to an hour a day because I don't want to. I'm not making a living doing this. This is not what brings an income to me. This is just my outlet. This is me being able to do what I have enjoyed doing for much of my life and sharing what I see with you. But I don't make a living off of this. So I'm going to restrict it to an hour a day. It takes me a little time to throw some things together. As I find interesting things, I file them and I pull them up for use here on a daily basis. And the rest of the time, I'm sharing what I find on social media. So on an average day, not every day, but on an average day, I share more news stories and observations and silliness on social media than I do here in this podcast. So if you enjoy the podcast, you should follow on social media. Look for the Daily Perspective Podcast on Facebook and on Twitter and on Parler in all three places. And I was on Gab for a little while, and I still have an account on Gab, but I'm not finding the people that I want to connect with and the people whose information I value. I'm not finding those people on Gab. I appreciate what Gab is doing, being a First Amendment place where you have freedom of speech, and they're not going to censor you unless you actually break the law or encourage people to break the law. But the people are just not gravitating to it, and I'm not really sure why that is. I do know that they got a lot of negative feedback, a lot of negative press when they first launched, and a lot of lies were told about them. And I wonder if possibly that's why. But if I'm at Gab, I don't see people like Dan Bongino. I don't see any member of the Trump family. I don't see any newsmakers or news reporters on Gab, and I see them all over on Parler. It's coming that way. So Parler, whatever they want to call it, and that's why I'm there. But that aside, I do post to those three places. So look up the Daily Perspective Podcast in those three places and follow along. Feel free to contribute. Feel free to share. I post stuff every day, several times a day. And I do respond when you make comments. I do respond. Because it is about, it's a social media thing. So I try to be social. You know, I like to start things off with a little absurdity. And I've got, let's see, I've got two items here that hopefully I can get to in the next 4.5 minutes or so. I doubt it, but we'll see. And if not, I'll move one of them beyond a break. But there's a certain level of insanity that's happening right now in the universe of political correctness. And I think I need this to set the stage. The Simpsons. It's America's longest running animated TV show. They're going to stop letting white actors voice non-white characters in their future episodes. That's what the show's producers revealed in a brief statement late Friday evening. Quote, "Moving forward, The Simpsons will no longer have white actors voice non-white characters." That's what the show said in a statement. Hank Azaria, a voice actor who has played multiple roles on The Simpsons, including bartender Moe Szyslak and Hispanic TV actor Bumblebee Man, announced earlier this year that he would no longer serve as the voice actor for Apu, the convenience store clerk on the show. Apu's role in The Simpsons was subject to growing criticism back in 2017 after the documentary The Problem with Apu was released. Hari Kondabolu, who starred in the documentary, told Vanity Fair back in 2017 that the show's depiction of Apu was, quote, "based on a white person's perception of an Indian immigrant and suffers from a fundamental flaw, a stereotype. It's the same jokes. India has over 1 billion people, something about curry, gods with many arms and elephant heads, arranged marriage," he says. According to BuzzFeed News, the show's new casting decision was announced shortly after two other prominent actors on other shows revealed they would no longer play non-white roles. One such actor, Mike Henry, tweeted earlier in the day that he would no longer play the character of Cleveland Brown, who is African-American, on the show Family Guy. Quote, "It's been an honor to play Cleveland on Family Guy for 20 years. Henry tweeted on Friday afternoon, "I love this character, but persons of color should play actors of color or characters of color. Therefore, I will be stepping down from the role." As was previously reported, actress Jenny Slate announced Wednesday she would no longer play the role of Missy on the Netflix animated series Big Mouth on account of the character is biracial and Slate doesn't share the same racial background as the character. She stated, "At the start of the show, I reasoned with myself that it was permissible for me to play Missy because her mom is Jewish and white, as am I. But Missy is also black, and black characters on an animated show should be played by black people." Slate also claimed that her original justification for playing the character, reasoning which she now says is flawed, served as an example of, quote, "an example of my white privilege and unjust allowances made within a system of societal white supremacy." And the co-creators of the show also apologized for casting a white actor in the role. I bring you this story because, one, it's absurd. And, two, it makes me scratch my head and wonder how people can have become can become so detached from common sense. Here's the thing about it being absurd. Are you ready? It's a cartoon! They're cartoons, people. They're not real life. These are caricatures. They are cartoon characters, which are not real people. It's cartoons. These are not... This is not a real life drama or comedy on television. They're cartoons. These people are voice actors. They act. They play different characters. It's acting. It's not real life. And this is what is so incredibly absurd about this story. We have a group of people who step into little booths in front of microphones with scripts and put on headphones, and they pretend to be certain people and certain characters in cartoons. It's not real life. And here we have a concrete illustration of what I said earlier about progressives. They're disconnected from reality. They see everything through odd, weird lenses that you and I don't look at the world through. We see real life. We see facts and figures and reality. We understand it's not real. We understand they're acting. But to them, it's the end of the world if they continue. Welcome back. It's the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Living in an absurd world, my friends. Oh, man, oh, man. Cartoons. I just wonder how long it will be before Family Guy actually has a real dog play Brian. I mean, if we're not going to be voice acting outside of our actual race, how long before we can't voice act outside of our species? That's what I want to know. Is that a silly question? No! It's not a silly question. Because if you use the same rationale, cultural appropriation, then how long will it be before animal rights people start protesting in front of these production companies? How long until they start marching in the streets demanding equal rights for dogs? So Brian on Family Guy has to be played by a real dog. How long? You think, oh, Mark, that's just absurd. Yes! That's the point! It's absurd! That's how stupid this is. Oh, my gosh. And the absurdity just oozes forward beyond the break. Brands. You know, brands. We've seen what's happening with brands lately. They've been axing problematic marketing in recent weeks. Eskimo pies. Oh, my Lord, we can't offend the Eskimos. Uncle Ben's, Aunt Jemima. Well, now companies are discontinuing the use of certain words they believe could potentially offend. The words whitening, fair, and master bedroom all are allegedly considered to be controversial. The Houston Association of Realtors will no longer use the word master to describe bedrooms and bathrooms on real estate listings. Instead, the word primary will be used in its place. The word master bedroom, that term, is allegedly problematic because some believe the adjective carries connotations to slavery and slave masters.
It's all evil. All language must be banned.
The change in nomenclature reportedly happened after several members of the HAR complained that the word master is insensitive.
Well, the word master just offends me. You know, I really would prefer that we need to stop using the word master when describing bedrooms and bathrooms because, after all, that term means it's a plantation bathroom. It's a plantation bedroom, and it was the masters of slaves. That's where that term comes from, you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So, what about Masterpiece Theater?
Can I get back to you on that? I don't have any references for being offended on that one yet.
Well, see, this is the thing. The word master bedroom being problematic because that word is insensitive and because it harkens back to slave days, it's just ludicrous. It's ludicrous. The HAR said it had only banned the word master on MLS listings, but members could still use the word in photo descriptions, marketing materials. So if you want to use the word master, that's up to you. It's not a problem if you use it, but we're not going to. A way to take a stand, people. Well, the court of Master Sommeliers. The Master Sommeliers. These guys, they're the masters of wines. These are people who know more about wine than you do. They set the global standard of excellence for beverage service within the hospitality industry. That's their words, by the way. They're going to stop using the word or the term Master Sommelier. Earlier last week, the Court of Master Sommeliers announced it would update the title of wine Master Sommelier because of the potential racial implications. I'm just going to let you sit and think about how absolutely ridiculous that is for just a moment, because I'm having an awful lot of trouble tying vineyards to slaves. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but when I think slaves, I think of cotton fields, not vineyards, not people picking grapes. I just don't think about that. What I think of within the grapes is family members and employees. I don't think of people, of slaves. But please, you be you, okay? You just continue with that, because, I mean, you got to have your own insanity, I guess. Hey, and I'm not going to log into it. The L'Oreal Group. You know L'Oreal. They've got all kinds of makeup products. They've got hair products. They've got all kinds of beauty aids. They've decided to remove the words white, whitening, fair or fairness, light and lightening from all of their skin evening products. That's what they announced on Friday. So they'll no longer be using the words whitening or white, fairness or fair, lightening or light on any of the products that they sell, which evens out the complexion on your face. They're just doing their part. They're doing their part. Making a big difference in the world. After all, they can change the world by changing the terminology on their packaging. Unilever, they're the largest producer of soaps in the world. They also own a bunch of other companies like Dollar Shave Club, who not long ago announced that they were giving $100,000 to Black Lives Matter and lost my business and the business of a bunch of other people who responded to me, who sent me notes on social media. Yeah, they just lost my business too. So, Unilever, they're the largest producer of soap in the world. They said they're going to remove the words whitening or lightening from their products as well. They're going to rename their Fair and Lovely Skin Lightening Cream products. They're sold mostly in Asia. This doesn't affect you or I in the least. People in the United States, it's an overseas product. But in Asia, where there are so many people of color, they're going to stop promoting their product that way. The brand said they'd be discontinuing the name because the name suggested a singular ideal of beauty. Really? All right. A petition with over 13,000 signatures demanded Unilever to stop selling the product. The petition says, "This product was built upon, perpetuated, and benefited from internalized racism. Racism! And promotes anti-blackness sentiments amongst all its consumers." Why?
Everything is racist!
Yep. Unilever said they would work toward a more inclusive vision of beauty. Johnson & Johnson, not to be left out, announced last week they're pulling two skin lightening products. The multinational corporation will stop selling its Clean and Clear Fairness product line in India and the Neutrogena Fine Fairness line in Asia and the Middle East. Is it just me, or do you have trouble imagining the Black Lives Matter people rioting in India or in the Middle East? Because honestly, I would just see people being hauled off to work camps and prison camps and stuff like that. I just don't see it happening, especially in the Middle East. This is loony, is what this is. If I can borrow a term from our British friends, these people are loonies. These are crazy people. These are people who are so desperate. They're desperate for approval that they are willing to just about bend over backwards and do anything to prevent offending any segment of the population, regardless of how microscopic that portion may be, or if they are actually offended or not. Because here's the thing. Generally speaking, not specifically, not to every minute detail, but generally speaking, the people who are being protected from being offended usually aren't offended by any of this silliness. It's just part of life. They're too busy being normal to be offended. Just ask the people in New York who were asked if... I'll get into that story in a few minutes. Just give me a break. Give me a minute here. I'll come back to you about it. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, the 29th of June, 2020. Good to have you along today. Oh, man. I think this whole podcast is about absurdity today. I mentioned something right before the break, and I pulled the article up. It's really short, because the thing is that you have to watch a video that's in the article. And I knew that, but I thought there was more to the article than there was. So give me just a sec here to back up and see if maybe this is the longer version of it. No, that's not it. Anyway, Amy Horowitz, you remember him from a couple of years ago when he asked liberals on the West Coast about requiring photo ID, government ID, to vote. You remember that? He asked them about that and said, "Oh yeah, we should be providing that. That's something that that we absolutely should allow that to happen." I mean they were saying, "No, we can't let them." wait a minute. I'm sorry. I just found the article I was looking for and I got totally sidetracked. The people, the liberals on the West Coast, were saying this is totally unfair. We shouldn't be requiring that. That's just ridiculous to require people to go. They can't do that. I mean, that's just, you're putting on, you know, what you're doing is you're depriving people of the right to vote by putting undue requirements on them and the like. And then he goes to the East Coast and goes to the Bronx and asks Black people in the Bronx, do you think it's an unfair requirement? The same questions. You think it's an unfair requirement to require government ID to vote? No, I don't see a problem with that. And he quotes them what he's been told, and they're all offended. That's ridiculous. I know where City Hall is. I know where the courthouse is. I know where to go to get these things. Everybody knows. Everybody's got ID. And so that sort of illustrates what I was talking about before, is the people who are offended for a segment of our society are disconnected from that segment of society. They're fighting for people who, when they find out what's being fought for, say, they're doing what? Oh, well, that's just stupid. And that's what happened before. Well, guess who's been out and talking to people again? It's about the Black Lives Matter thing and defunding police. The left loves to say Black Lives Matter, but they only seem to care about Black lives when it's politically convenient. White liberals in particular like to imagine that they speak on behalf of the Black community. The Babylon Bee parodied this in a headline with a headline, "New program helps people of color adopt a white liberal to speak on their behalf," which is really funny. Well, Ami Horowitz, a documentary filmmaker, and he's the director of the Fox News Ami on the Streets, decided to ask white liberals in New York City what they thought of the idea of abolishing the police. It's a big topic nowadays, defunding the cops, getting rid of them. You know, Minneapolis has just done that. But members of the city council have hired private security, paid for by taxpayers. So they still get their security, but you don't get yours. He asked him what they thought about the idea of abolishing the police. Then he asked black residents of East Harlem for their opinions on the matter. Well, when he asked white New Yorkers about abolishing the police, the responses were, well, absolutely. And they're monsters. And policing in this country is about keeping black people down. Horowitz asked one white man who hated the police how he thought people in East Harlem felt about police officers. And that guy said, probably the same way I feel about them, you know, probably worse. Do you agree with the East Harlem residents? Then he interviewed East Harlem residents. Here's what they thought of white leftist opinions on abolishing the police. I think they're full of crap. Another said, I think they're being somewhat ignorant. Another says, abolishing the NYPD? That would be suicide. One East Harlem resident spoke of how his 8-year-old son wants to be a police officer, and he was encouraging him. Another black resident mentioned she had relatives who were police officers, and she respects them. Quote, I support the police. I don't support police brutality, of course, but I support the police. In other words, she understands nuance. The government can make helpful reforms without destroying a vital system. Instead, Democrats have rejected police reform efforts like the one introduced by Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. At the same time, white leftists are busy being caught on camera lecturing black police officers about racism or just screaming in black officers' faces. Oh, and about that police reform effort introduced by Republican Senator Tim Scott, he was completely and totally dissed by the Democrats. They're basically, essentially, calling him a token black guy. And their racism is on display for all to see. The Democrat racism. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. A Pew Research Center study found that only 1 in 6 protesters are black. 46% white. A recent YouGov HuffPost poll found 49% of black Americans somewhat oppose or strongly oppose defunding the police. Only 29% support the measure. Among respondents of all races, 45% strongly oppose defunding the police. Crime statistics show why. As Harvard social scientist Roland Fryer has documented, cities that reduce police activity see increased crime. Example? Shootings in New York have already surged since the police department disbanded its plainclothes anti-crime unit. In fact, over last year, it's dramatically higher. Much, much higher. Yet despite all of this evidence of likely disaster, the Minneapolis City Council just unanimously approved a measure to abolish the city's police department. It's a Marxist-inspired movement. May claim to speak on behalf of black Americans, but black Americans can speak for themselves, and the majority want to keep police in their communities. And this is the point I was trying to make. And that is that black Americans are not being represented by the progressives who are marching for them. The majority of black Americans don't want to defund the police. The majority of black Americans don't want the police to be pulled out of the neighborhoods. The majority of black Americans understand what would happen if that were to be done. They know that if you abolish the police, if you take them out of their neighborhoods, then the crime, the violence, everything that's bad will run rampant and make it impossible to live there. And this is why so many black people have moved away from metro areas into the suburbs. They've moved away from the crime. They've moved away from the violence. They're actually very conservative. They may vote Democrat, but they're very conservative people. They hate crime and violence just as much as you do, and they're trying to get away from it. But as a friend of mine who worked in law enforcement until his retirement told me one time, it's just like a business. When a business is set up in a certain part of town and their customer base thins out and leaves, they go where their customer base is and set up shop. So all of these decent, right-thinking, good people who have common sense, when they move out of the high crime areas to places with lower crime, the criminals have nobody left to prey on. And so they follow them. And the problem just keeps moving. And this brings us back to other issues, like all of the shootings in Chicago, the violence going on in various cities in America, and Black Lives Matter. Black lives only seem to matter to those folks when it's a political season. If Black lives really mattered to Black Lives Matter, they would be on the ground in Chicago stopping the violence and the killing. They would be on the ground in Chicago working alongside the police and law enforcement to stop the murders that are happening every week in Chicago. They would be on the ground in New York City working with police departments to find out how to better achieve their goals of protecting everybody who lives there. If Black lives really mattered to Black Lives Matter, they would be in every metropolitan area in the country condemning all of the destruction, the looting, the law-breaking. But you notice they're not. They aren't doing that. They're actually campaigning and working against the police. They're working against law and order. And their pretense is that it's all racist, when it's not. It's not racist. It's not racist to establish law and to enforce law. I've said this before, and I'll say it again right now. We're talking about behavior here, not racism. If you break the law, you will pay the penalty if they catch you. And the reason that there are so many more black Americans in prison, disproportional amounts, considering that black Americans are 13% of the population and their percentage in prisons is much higher than that, is not based on the color of their skin. It's based on their behavior. They broke law. They were caught. They were convicted. They broke the law. They were behaving criminally. I quoted you stats last week, was it? About the percentage, the numbers. I didn't quote all of them, but I provided you links to everything in the show notes. About the number of violent crimes. 13% of the population. Something like 54% of all violent crime. I think that's right. I don't have it up in front of me right now. It's a behavior issue. It's not a race issue. And people are fleeing certain areas because of the behavior. And people who stay in those areas realize that thin blue line of the police is what separates them from being victims themselves. So, 49% of black Americans polled by the YouGov and HuffPost poll, 46% of the Pew Research Center study, says they somewhat are strongly opposed defunding the police because they're living there and know what's really going on. Hi, how are you? Here we go. jumping headfirst into the final segment of the day. For this Monday, the 29th day of June, 2020. Independence Day is this coming weekend. Yep. 4th of July weekend. And my wife and I are talking about unplugging and escaping this weekend. And she's got Friday off. And I'm seriously considering about taking Friday off and us just unplugging and being completely out of touch with everything for the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll let you know more about that as we get closer, okay? All right. I was talking about, as part of the last segment, I mentioned Chicago. And if Black lives really mattered, then things in Chicago would be very different than they are right now. Well, the city of Chicago has become a shooting gallery in recent weeks. And President Trump has become so concerned that he wrote a letter to Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And he put him on notice for a lack of leadership. Pritzker has pretty much ignored the carnage in Chicago streets. Lightfoot has come under fire for low morale in the Chicago Police Department and her seeming paralysis over the shootings. From NBC5 there, the president said, while he's been heartened to see crime reductions nationally in the last few years, he's been horrified by the continued violence in this great American city. The letter goes into detail on the city's violence numbers from the last weekend in May, when more than 80 people were shot and nearly two dozen killed. Last weekend, the numbers climbed even higher, with 104 people shot and 14 killed, including a three-year-old boy and multiple teens. From the letter, quote, your lack of leadership on this important issue continues to fail the people you have sworn to protect. I'm concerned it is another example of your lack of commitment to the vulnerable citizens who are victims of this violence and a lack of respect for the men and women in law enforcement. Well, of course, Lightfoot cried racism and said Trump was using shooting victims to score cheap political points. She writes, as our police officers, street outreach workers, and residents continue to work tirelessly to keep our communities safe and failing, he's using the victims of gun violence in our city to score cheap political points, spew racist rhetoric, and ignore the impact of COVID across this country. Wow. Way to pivot, lady. Lightfoot's repeatedly cited the pandemic among the reasons for a rise in violence. What? People stay indoors during a lockdown, and the coronavirus is the reason so many are getting shot? And where does Trump use racist rhetoric? It just goes to show you can't criticize a lesbian black mayor without being called a racist. As I've told you before, if you want to get called a racist, just win an argument with a progressive. Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown has repeated the need to keep violent offenders in jail and revamp the home monitoring system. He explains it's just not working. Pritzker hasn't yet publicly responded to the letter yet. He's no doubt having meetings with people about the best words to use. Allowing violent offenders out of jail because they might get sick is just about the dumbest thing Democratic mayors and governors have ever done. It's not just Chicago that's seen an uptick in violence. Cities across the nation are reporting more shootings, more assaults. While no one has bothered to keep stats on released offenders committing crimes, the superintendent's complaint says a lot about the policy. Well, Lightfoot tried to blame the federal government for the shootings. After the city saw one of its deadliest Memorial Day weekends in years, Lightfoot pointed to a lack of federal resources, jail admittance, and court hearings during the coronavirus pandemic for making community policing the most difficult she's seen in more than 20 years. Hey, it's not rocket science, Mayor. It's not rocket science. People who are violent belong in jail. Virus or no virus, they're going to do what they do if they're out on the street. Stop blaming a lack of federal resources for acting like a deer in the headlights. Okay? the federal government. Well, it's not. See, this is something I keep telling you, and that is that progressives never accept blame for anything they do wrong. It's always someone else's fault. And when it comes down to a big city like Chicago, they're going to blame it on the federal government. Oh, we're not getting enough federal resources. It's just not there. They're not here to help us. Well, why do you need the federal resources? Why? I'll tell you why. Because, A, you've spent your resources on other things which you shouldn't have done. You had resources. You had budgets. You have these meetings. You have taxes coming in. You can spend that money on what it needs to be spent on, but you don't. Just like New Orleans, when the levees broke during Katrina and the Ninth Ward was flooded and people were sitting on the roofs of their houses waiting for airlift support and boats to get away so they didn't drown and people died, just like then, the city of New Orleans spent levee funding on other projects. They were warned repeatedly, you need to fix these levees. They're going to kill people someday. We're going to have a perfect storm and these factors will come together and the levees will break. And they said, well, that might happen, but we have pressing needs. We're going to spend this money over here. And the same thing happens in every progressive controlled city. They spend their money on progressive pet projects instead of real issues. They spend their money funding parks for the homeless. They spend their money on any number of bizarre projects, which really just increase their issues. The parks for the homeless issue is something that the folks in California are facing right now. They're overrun, especially in San Francisco. They're overrun with homeless people because they spend their funding on catering to the homeless. And what happens when it spreads that a certain place is friendly to homeless people? More homeless people show up. And so the problem gets bigger, not smaller. And that's progressive lack of forethought. And the same thing is happening in Chicago. The reason they don't have the resources there to spend on what they need to control the crime issues is because they spend their resources on other things instead of what the needs truly are. They spend their resources on imaginary problems when real problems are staring them in the face. And that's progressive leadership for you. Lori Lightfoot is deflecting. And what I've shared with you is the least of what she has to say. She's been vicious. She's been absolutely vicious. Trump has obviously struck a nerve because she has been nasty. And sadly, the people who suffer for her nastiness are the people of Chicago. And certain parts of Chicago are war zones. Every week we get the death totals coming in. Every week it seems they get higher. The situation just gets worse and worse and worse. And what does the mayor of Chicago do? Instead of actually addressing the issue, she deflects. And she blames the problems on others. It's typical progressive dodging and deflection. And it's sad for the people of Chicago. Very, very sad. Because it's a great city. It's an amazing city. But it is suffering under progressive leadership. And it could actually be much greater than it is today. If people with common sense, who have a connection to reality, were actually in control. And the same can be said for cities across America under progressive control and states under progressive control. New York City is similar. I've read more than one report from people who have decided to stop going to New York City. People who make an annual trip because they have enjoyed going for so many years because of the vibe. It's alive. It's alive 24 hours a day. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night. You feel the urge for a cup of coffee, you can walk out of your hotel and get a cup of coffee. You want to go shopping? There are places 24 hours a day. There's things going on all the time. But in recent years, it's getting less and less exciting to go there because there seems to be a pall over the city. A lot of people are leaving. It's not to make the mistake to think that the population is dropping drastically, but thousands of people are leaving New York City because it's just hard to live there now. Because it's being run so badly and crime is increasing, shootings are increasing. It's dangerous to live in New York. People don't want to be where their families are in danger. And so they're leaving, going other places because of progressive leadership. And now I'm going other places. Got to go. Got things to do. Lots of stuff to clean up in my garage. Yeah, that project is ongoing. I'll tell you more about that tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a great day. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.